Morning, everybody. Any of you going through some challenging times? The past couple weeks, past couple months been a challenge for you? I can answer for you, I know that is true. I know some of you have gone through probably the hardest months, weeks, and years of your life. I think I know what the answer is for you. I think I know what will help you make it. And I'm going to leave you with that cliffhanger for just a quick second to give you just an announcement or two. I'm here because he is not. He is recovering from surgery. You've probably seen his emails. He is doing okay, but not great. So please keep him in your prayers. I think I also heard that Carla was not feeling well, maybe had the flu as well. So keep her in your prayers as well. Also want to give a shameless plug for the game night on Friday. There's a sign-up sheet out. I'm sorry, Saturday. Thank you. Saturday at 6, a sign-up sheet out in the foyer. Since Heath is not here, I am happy to give him a hard time. He is probably one of the most competitive game players you will find, and there's nothing more sweet than him losing at a game for those who are playing against him. Ask Cheryl. So if you want to be a part of that possibility, now he's a tough one. He's tough to beat, but it is possible. So if you want to be a part of that, come on Saturday. Also, Winterfest dinner is set up, I believe, in Fellowship Hall for after services. Please be a part of that and support our young people as they are preparing for Winterfest. It looks great back there. It smells great. So be a part of that. All right. So back to the cliffhanger I gave you. I think I know what the answer is for you who are struggling with the hard things, not knowing what to do. I think what to do is to care for somebody else. It's to serve somebody else. And I'd like to talk about that for just a few minutes. It's probably been about 5 years since I've preached, so I'm going to ask you to be patient with me, and I'm going to ask you, I'm not used to speaking in front of people and me just speaking the entire time. I'm not used to interaction. So can I ask you to commit to helping me this morning? Nod your head this way as if I was Richard saying that. You'll help me? All right. I'll have a couple different times when I need that. So the first thing I want to talk about is what is service, and specifically, what is servant leadership? I posed this to a group of young people, and granted, it wasn't biblical servant leadership. I was talking to them about public service and what a public servant is, and their looks were blank. They didn't know what the answer was. But if I were to ask you, what is biblical servant leadership? How would you answer that? Give me a throw an answer out. I won't do this too many times, but what would you, when you think of servant leadership, what is the characteristics? You know that that person is going to be this, or they're definitely not going to be this. What would you say?
Dependable.
I heard dependable. Dependable? Okay, I like that. What else? Honest. I heard honest.
Acceptable.
Let me come back to the prayer. What?
Acceptance.
Okay.
Saying putting others' needs above their own.
Anybody else?
Not bossy.
Not bossy.
Humble.
Humble. Okay. All good things.
Walking in the light.
Walking in the light. Okay. Here's some of the things I came up with. Putting others first. Not domineering or lording over others. Seeking the good of others. Concern for the underprivileged, the maligned, or the hurting. They recognize their authority and its limits. They're helpers of others. Willing to stand shoulder to shoulder while tasks are completed. And if you can see that at the bottom, doesn't have his own agenda, follows God's. I'd like to take a few minutes today and talk about a few of these. Specifically, what is a servant leader? In our Acts 11 study, in the morning class, we talked about Barnabas, and he was called the son of encouragement. In Acts 4:36, it described him. It said, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas. And it was important enough to note this other name that this Joseph person had as Barnabas, which was a son of encouragement. And that's important. Also in Acts 11, Andy read it. The Lord's hand was with them, And a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. This is in verse 22. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. And I'd like you this morning to take the role of Barnabas. Be Barnabas today for me, and then going forward, all right? We're going to express, and this may be a little unconventional, but as we talk about what a servant leader is, we're going to express to those in our body who are servant leaders already a few things. This is the verse I just read. We're going to express to them that we see their work, that God, see the work that God's grace has done through them. We're going to say that we are glad for their work. We're going to tell them we're glad for their work. We're going to encourage them in their service. And we're going to tell them we will join with them as servant leaders. And we're going to do this because we don't do it enough. The people that I'm going to talk about don't get praised enough. And the writers of the Gospels, the writers about the new church, thought it important enough to talk about Barnabas and other servants by name, giving credit to them for the work that they were doing through God. So let's talk about these five areas. The first area that I'd like to talk about is that the servant leader recognizes a need and gets personally involved. In Nehemiah 1, Nehemiah was the cup holder, the cup bearer for the king Artaxerxes, and he received information, he received the news that Jerusalem was in ruins, and he wanted to learn about it. He was upset by it. He was from that area. He was hurt to realize what had happened to Jerusalem. So he wept, he mourned, he fasted, and he prayed, and then he went to work. He recognized the need, and he went to work. And we're going to come back to Nehemiah a couple different times. But he went to the king, and he said, I see this need. Will you allow me to do a work? And we have people in our church who have done a work, too, after seeing a need. And I'm going to ask you, this is the second thing I'm going to ask you to do. When I comment on an individual, I'm not going to be able to address everybody who's been a servant here. I know there are a lot of things I don't see. But I see some of it, and I've heard other things. And so when I bring that person up, if you were sitting near them, will you give them a pat on the back? Will you shake their hand? Will you give them a hug? This first person is Chad. Chad's my brother. Chad saw a need a few months ago. We were out to breakfast together, a couple of guys. And we were talking about the need for groups to study about what manhood was. And Chad said, I'll teach a class on that. A young father, a hard worker, already has responsibilities here in the church. I see the need, I'll do it. I'll take care of that. Now there's a class going on Sunday mornings. If you're not a part of it, young man, older man, be a part of it. Alright? But Chad saw this need. Colin, somebody go back and shake Colin's hand. Give him a hug. He's in the back. We're going to come back to Colin in a second. Greg, thank you. He saw a need for deeper Bible study for men. You know, our ladies get together and study together, and that's awesome. But men, are we doing that enough? No, we're not. And Colin saw that. He said, let's do something about it. He saw a need, and he did something about it. How about the young people? Most of them are not here right now. They're out studying. We're going to come back to them in a second. But they saw a need for a youth group. And with the help of some adults, they put it together, and they are running their youth group. You heard the announcement before about their funding Winterfest. They could certainly ask for the church's help and benevolence, but they're not. They're going and doing most of this on their own. And we're going to probably help them out a little bit, but they're doing it on their own. All right? They're recognizing a need and getting involved. That's service. The need was seen, and then there was action. The second thing They're not lording it over others, but they're standing side by side. This is a great passage. We'll read it to you. A dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lorded over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. Jesus also said in Mark 9:35, anyone who wants to be first must be very last and the servant of all. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:24, not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your faith, because we work with you for your joy, because it is by faith you stand firm. I may have missed a part here. No, I didn't. I'm okay. All right. And then back in Nehemiah, we come back to Nehemiah. He's been sent on this mission to go back and help with Jerusalem. And he sees that there's an issue. He sees that there's an issue, and that there's danger. Okay. And he says to the people, they're getting concerned. He says, in verse 22, have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night so they can serve us as guards by night and as workers by day. Neither I nor my brothers nor my men nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon even when he went for water. And what does this signify? This signifies that Nehemiah, who's in a position of leadership, he is a supervisor here. He's been sent and tasked with this large job of making right these walls and putting Jerusalem back together. He's standing shoulder to shoulder with his men to keep everyone safe. He's not saying, you take the night shift, I'm sleeping through the night. I'm going to stand next to you. I'm going to get the job done with you. And we have a few of those people too. How about all those people who have served when we've had funerals lately? Hasn't that been a hard thing to have to do? And yet look at who we've had, and please forgive me if I've had somebody wrong, but at the last opportunity we had to serve in this way, the Mosbys, the Magoos, Kathy Wood, the Picketts, the Grahams, and the Phillips, hopefully they're nearby you. Give them a pat. Give them a thank you. Maybe there were others. I apologize if I've missed you. But these are people that are saying, we see the hurt. We're going to stand by you. We're going to stand next to you, side by side. The next thing, the third thing, they make sacrifices in order for others to succeed. They serve at their own expense. And Paul had something to say about this. You know Paul. Paul went through many, many trials. Many trials. And he says this in Philippians 1, 12, and then verse 25. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me and what has happened to him, those are the trials, those are the beatings, those are the rejections over and over, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. We see him again speaking later about his rights as a minister, his rights to be provided for and cared for. And yet he takes this approach. Who serves at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its grapes? Who doesn't benefit from the work they do? And he says, me, not in that way. It's not about me. It's not about what I get out of it. I may offer it free of charge and not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Why is he offering it? He's offering the gospel. He's not offering anything that's going to benefit him materially or just Paul. This benefits the gospel of Christ. And then we go back to Nehemiah. They're getting discouraged again. And he says, then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. And then this is important. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began his good work. Servant leader makes sacrifices in order for others to succeed. You think we have any of those people in our body? No, we do. How about all the ladies who just teach? Carla, Barb, Melissa, Linda, Sylvia, Angie, Jackie, Carol, Wendy, Joanna, many others I'm sure I've missed. Are they sitting next to you? Give them a squeeze. Give them a high five, a handshake, a thank you. These are women who just do it over and over. How about Colin? How many of you are pleased to see that my PowerPoint is working? That you can hear me? Well, it may seem like a small thing, but the man is there faithfully every week, providing for us in this way, providing for us to be able to hear Richard. And he does many behind-the-scenes things that we do not recognize, that we take for granted. I probably could have preached the whole time on Tom and his servanthood here at the church. Would you agree?
Yes.
There may be no greater servant here at the Haverstown Church, but you ask Tom to do anything, and he will do it for you. He's hobbled. He's not feeling well. He's still going to do it. Mike does so much around our building, you don't even see him here. He's constantly preparing. And part of that is that he's been tasked with that. We understand that. But he doesn't get up here and say, hey, check out what I did with the lights. You felt safe coming in here because I kept the lights running or changed the bulbs. He doesn't do anything like that. Do we recognize him? You need to. Thank you, Mike. Somebody give Mike a pat. He was doing it before he was tasked with it. Yes, thank you. And you may not see that at the bottom. How about Alana? Wait a minute. She's not here. She serves in such a remarkable way, doesn't she? Any of you get cards from her? Marina, do I get cards still with money from her? The boys probably just get money from her. But she sends cards to those she thinks about and she cares about. She cares about so many. And she needs to be recognized for her servant leadership. Okay, the fourth one. They're mastered not by their own ministry, but by becoming a bondservant of Christ. They're seeking God's glory and not their own. This kind of goes with the second one that we talked about. Paul says, though I am free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone. Why? To win as many as possible. He says later, Ephesians, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Do we have anybody like this in our church? Yes, we do. It's not their own ministry, but they're a bond servant of Christ. Melissa, somebody recognize Melissa who's sitting there. She runs this place. Richard's the voice, Richard's the face, but she makes things happen so that we're ready to go on Sunday. How many of you know what's going on here today and in weeks to come because of what she does? How many of you can reach out to the church throughout the week and find her and get the answers you need because of Melissa? How about Phil? Phil doesn't have a title, at least that I know of, maybe just a handyman. That's an appropriate title. He does everything for us here. He's our eyes and ears throughout the church, coordinating what's going to be happening here in the early services, making sure everybody's ready to go and do their job. How about Greg and Gay? I wish Gay was here. She makes this place shine. Throughout the week, she makes it shine. She gives us a beautiful, beautiful place to come and worship together. Do you have any bills to pay, Paul? Do you have any responsibilities to take care of as a steward? Greg is aptly named the steward because that is what we ask him to do here. He pays our bills. He collects the funds and with the help of our shepherds, funnels it where it needs to go, that it is safely, wisely used. Thank you, Greg, for your work in that area. We would be lost without that financial decision-making and stewardship. And Carol, how many meals have we, where's she, she's not even in here. She's in the fellowship hall. There's a surprise. How many meals do we have because of what Carol, the work that Carol does? She volunteers to decorate, to provide meals. And she's here well before any of us come to indulge and enjoy a meal. She's working hard behind the scenes. I saw a list, and maybe I can get updated here now. I don't know. But there, I've seen lists, sign-up lists of ladies who just want to get together and sing for those, and pray for those who are struggling and need some encouragement. How amazing is that? Can't hear?
Sorry.
I apologize. All right, and then last. This is a little bit different of one, but they understand and follow God's timing for their role. This includes stepping into and out of roles of service. Certainly you know that if I say stepping into a role of service, yeah, the timing's right. We need help. And we saw and had examples of those who step into those roles because it's a need. And that's when they do it. All right. But there's also an element of stepping out of the role. And I'm not suggesting that anybody who is leading and should just say, okay, you're telling me to stop. I'm not saying that. But we see a clear example in a ministry, specifically John the Baptist, when he knew what his role was. This is when John was addressing what was happening with Jesus. Jesus was just starting his ministry. And John said this, "A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must be greater, I must become less." I've seen other versions. "He must increase, I must decrease." What is this saying? I think it's saying that John recognized his place. He recognized that he was not the center of attention. He was not what everybody was looking for. Jesus was. And for those of you who are serving and have served faithfully, we thank you. And I'm not suggesting that you step back and away from it, but I am saying that recognize your place, recognize what God has done through you, and be who it is at that time. So here's a few people who have done this. Brooke, she wanted her children to have a Wednesday night Bible class. So she came and said, "I'm going to teach it." And I know other ladies have done that. But it was so important that her children had a teacher that she came and she said, "I'm going to take that role." Angie, Tamara, and Sylvia did the same thing with the youth group. They recognized that these young people needed somebody. They knew that the timing was right for these young people. There was a limited amount of time that they could mold these young people, and they said, "We've got to do it." And they've got a thriving young youth group now. How about the adult class teachers? Many of these men, I think, have been asked to teach who have never taught before. Never had an interest in teaching, and yet here they are accepting the responsibility to teach. And I thank you, men, for that. Recently, we've been talking about ways to protect our members, our body, our building. And we've had many men who have said, "I'd be willing to participate in that as well. Tell me where you need me to be, and I'll be there." And Perry is he's a great last conclusion to this, because I compare him to John the Baptist. Now, Perry's slowing down. He would probably be the first to admit that. But he wants to continue to serve, and he has been faithful. He's sitting here today, and he's probably not feeling great. But he's here, and he's faithful. And I think of him, and I want him to know that he has been a faithful servant. And if he felt like he needed to, I'm not telling him he's being demoted. Now, I don't think anybody's saying that, but if he could receive that, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful to the work God has called you to, I think that it would be a valuable message. I haven't even mentioned the work that our elders do and the shepherding that they and their wives do for our body. What acts of service they give us. And I know I've missed some, and I'm sorry for that. If you have somebody on your mind that I've missed, would you please go to them right when the service is over and thank them and include them in this message? But now I just want to shift very quickly for just a moment to ask you, what do you notice most about these servant leaders? What do you notice most about them? And here's what I notice. And the first thing is they're not perfect. I don't intend to put them on a pedestal. They are sinners. Defective is a harsh word. I don't mean to use it harshly, but they are sinners, so they will be sinning servants. They will not always be perfect. We are not a perfect church, but we are going to follow the example set in Acts 11. The second thing that I think of is that they have been perfectly molded by God to be used in our church. The roles that they fill, they are perfectly built for it. Now, there are some people who just take responsibility and take service to any place that is needed. But for the most part, we have servants in our church who are skilled in those areas, who have some ability in those areas. And so if you haven't already started thinking about where I'm going with this, what is your skill? What is your ability? What is your purpose in our body? We must certainly talk about the ultimate servant leader, certainly Jesus Christ. And we will read as the reading, as we had at the opening scripture reading, we're going to talk in Philippians about how he was not a servant from the start. He was God. He is God. And what did he take? He took a role of servant. Despite being given dominion, despite being given authority, he was in control of the entire universe. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. This is in Daniel. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. If ever there were someone who would not need to get down and stand shoulder to shoulder or serve, it would be Jesus. But he came to serve, not to be served. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We read in Philippians 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain deceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking at your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in a human likeness. And then we see what's going to happen next to Christ. He was killed. He was resurrected. And now he was exalted. He will be exalted at the end of the age. Well, what was the other thing about Jesus that we can't miss? He didn't just step down and go shoulder to shoulder. He stepped down and he washed his disciples' feet. This is our commandment. This is our commandment to do what Jesus did. He said, I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Now that you know these things, I know you knew this before, but now that you know them again, what will you do with them? This is God's commandment to us, to serve one another in this way. Now, there are those who could and should be serving and who are not. There are areas of service in our number that are being missed, or are being done by people who have done them for years. Over and over, they're just filling that need. And it's time for someone else to help. It's time for me, and it's time for you to help in this area. We have examples in the scriptures about those who serve with the wrong motives. Ananias and Sapphira, they gave of themselves the money that they had, And they gave with the wrong motives. They gave with the wrong reason. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. He said in Matthew 23, verses 1 through 12, "The greatest among you will be your servant, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." I think I have that passage to show you in just a minute. But I have this up here, the silhouette of a servant, to ask you if I had putting pictures up there of all the servants in our church. We would have quite a list. What a great list we have. But would you be that silhouette? Will you be that next servant, that servant leader that we need? That is my question for you today as we finish. Again, this is what Jesus said. He was talking to the Pharisees who wanted to puff themselves up, who were these leaders and who wanted to be seen, wanted to be heard, wanted to have places of authority. And Jesus said, no, that's not what it's about. You are not to be called instructors, for you have one instructor. They're at the very bottom. The greatest among you will be your servant. That is my message for you today. And I hope that you will hear it as men and women and young people who desire greatly to move forward the kingdom of God. And we can do that for one another. We can do that for God by serving one another and stepping into those roles as servants. That is what I have for you today. We'll go ahead and have our song of invitation now. If there is an area of your life that you need to address, whether it is finding Christ for the first time as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to come do that. If you need the opportunity to pray, to repent, this is also a good time to do that. So we do that as we stand and sing.